We know that the whole Easter season invites us to look higher, to think of higher things, beyond even this world, beyond this life. It's hard for us to do because we're looking at things we can't see. It's like climbing a ladder, you can't see the next rung of the ladder. You know it's there, but you can't see it. So it's a journey of faith. Well, this is why we spend time pondering the scriptures, because the scriptures give us light for this faith journey. And today's readings are particularly thought-provoking, not only in the sense of giving us something to think about, but also things to ponder, to make it clear that there is much more. In today's gospel, Jesus even says, I have much more to tell you, but you cannot bear it now. So we reflect on this process of not only receiving what is revealed, but being prepared to receive it. Since we can't receive it now, something has to develop in us so that we can receive more. And then in today's first reading, we have this great passage about Paul's attempts to speak to the intellectuals of Athens. When Jesus speaks about this, his desire to tell us more, but we can't bear it now, we're left with this kind of contradiction. You know, we want more too. And we might even wonder why God doesn't tell us more about what he's doing or what we're supposed to be doing. He says it's because we cannot bear it now. So what we think is being hidden from us may rather be too much for us. And so it's God's mercy that he doesn't overburden us with more than we can handle. He gives us at times what seems like more than we can handle. We can be overwhelmed by what God is doing. But in fact, it's just a little bit more than we can handle so that we are stretched. He has no desire to annihilate us with the weight of truth. Then he says, even if we can't bear it now, he will send us the Spirit of truth, and the Spirit will guide us into all truth. It's a very encouraging thing to know. The Spirit not only guides us into all truth, but strengthens us to be able to receive all truth. He enlarges our capacity for truth. And we should experience this as we grow in faith. We can see more, we can accept more. Even some of the real contradictory things of life don't have to devastate us. We say, well, okay, I understand God is doing something here. That's the attitude we should take during the pandemic. God is at work, even if we don't see what he's doing or what good he's bringing about. A person with no faith at all could easily be devastated by this endless pandemic. But a person of faith says, well, I trust in God. Okay, so the Spirit will guide us into all truth. And then Jesus says this truth is from the Father and the Son. Again, this is a revelation of the inner mystery of God. There are these three persons that are all distinct, but all united. There's the Father, and Jesus constantly says he gets everything from the Father. And what he gives us, he gets from the Father. And then there's this Spirit, this advocate, this Spirit of truth, who will hand on to us or declare to us the very same things that come from the Father and the Son. Sometimes people say, well, if God is a Trinity, why didn't Jesus just say, we're a Trinity? Because we wouldn't have understood what he was saying anyway. It's like the people who say, why didn't Jesus say, I'm God? Why didn't he tell people he was God? They couldn't have told people that. Nobody would have believed him. You can't just go up to people and say, I'm God. They would just say, well, you're an idiot. You're crazy. Or you're a blasphemer. And that would be the end of the conversation. So instead, Jesus reveals God in a way that is not too much for us to take. Okay, so this is a revelation of the Trinity, if we understand the more that he wants to tell us. Now, he doesn't say God is Trinity, but he does say the Spirit will guide us into all truth. And the central truth of all is the Trinity, Father, Son, and Spirit. So this process of being guided into all truth is going on all the time. And the limits to it are in us. It's not that there's no more truth to learn. It's that our capacity is limited. We've reached the limit of what we can handle today. When we wake up tomorrow morning, maybe we can handle some more. Now, Paul, who knows a lot more of the truth than the intellectuals of Athens know, has this challenging mission. How can he make known to these scholars, these philosophers, the truth of Jesus Christ? How can he proclaim the gospel to them? This is his valiant attempt to try to reach these Greek philosophers. This is the Areopagus, the forum for the discussion of great ideas, the place where the philosophers argued about all these esoteric matters. And Paul, you have to give him credit, he does a pretty good job of acknowledging what they already know and then trying to take them the next step. They can't take very much. Because here they have a city full of shrines to different gods, including one to an unknown god. And then Paul boldly says, well, what you don't know, I know. And I'm going to tell you what I know. Paul, who in other settings was opposed, persecuted, the Jews often felt threatened by him. Because Paul could speak with authority on the scriptures, on the prophets, and was constantly revealing how Jesus is the fulfillment of all that had been given to the Jews. So the Jews typically felt threatened by him and often persecuted him. These intellectuals in the Areopagus, they're not threatened at all, because they look down on Paul already, even from the beginning. They don't look at him as an expert in the law or expert in the Jewish tradition. They look at him as a foreigner who has some interesting ideas. So they say, oh, this is interesting. Yeah, what do you want to say? And Paul does his best to say what he has to say. He even quotes some of their own writers, picks out some gems of truth that happen to exist in the pagan writers. And some of the stuff he says, they would certainly accept. They didn't believe that these statues were really gods. They knew that God was not confined to man-made temples. They knew that, but they still had these cultural religious practices. So when Paul says that God doesn't dwell in sanctuaries made by human hands, and he doesn't exist in our man-made images. He's the one who made us. He's the one who made everything. And they would accept that. You could philosophically come to that conclusion. We are all his offspring. We're all children of God. They would accept that in some philosophical sense. Sure, we're all children of God. Even nowadays, most people would accept that. Oh yes, we all come from some divine life force. Even the New Age people would say, yes, we're all children of God. We all have a spark of the divinity in us. So that's not very threatening to them. But when Paul gets to the truth of the resurrection, that's where they draw the line. When they heard about resurrection of the dead, some began to scoff, but others said, oh, we should like to hear you on this some other time. A very polite way of saying, go away. What does this tell us? There are limits to what we can know by reason. There are limits to what we can receive by human effort, human education, culture, including religious culture. There are pretty severe limits. Beyond those limits, we cannot bear to hear more. It doesn't even sound reasonable to us. So we rely on a gift that helps us transcend these limits. That gift is faith. And it's given to us in the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, when we receive the Holy Spirit in baptism, we receive faith. It's one of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. So we who understand this yield to this process of having it given, having truths revealed, truths that go further than we could ever go on our own. If we are too attached to what we can figure out, we become an obstacle to our own growth. If we cling to our intellect or our background or our culture or what we get from the media or any human good, then we become an obstacle to this next step. And that seems to be just what happened in the Areopagus. They just wouldn't go any further. Go away. Maybe when we're curious or we want a little entertainment, you can come back and tell us more. This is what seems to be this control or this intellectualism or self-determined reality. This seems to be what's afflicting us nowadays to an even worse degree than in Athens. The conversation in the social media and in the traditional media and in the society is, let's decide for ourselves what we want our reality to be. We make up our own identity, we make up our own reality, we look things up on Google if we want to get some information, but to determine what it means, we'll just decide that for ourselves. So we have this explosion of information in our age. We can know in a few seconds pretty much anything that is known. Just do a little research. But we seem to know less about what it means. Because some questions cannot be answered by a Google search. So if we rely on what we can do and what we can control, what we can figure out, if we rely on that too much, then we end up in darkness. The only glimmer of light is reason, but we have no openness to the light of faith. It's interesting that Paul's experience was so limited, his success was so limited when he was dealing with the intellectuals. It says at the end of the reading, he left Athens and went to Corinth. Corinth was the rough and tumble port area. So he went from high society to low society. And in high society, he influenced very few people. In low society, he had waves of converts. Corinth became one of the thriving Christian communities. Tells us to be lowly, to not have too high a view of ourselves or what we understand. Better to be humble and open than to be clever and learned. So we open ourselves to the gift of the Holy Spirit, the gift of faith, In 2 days we'll be starting our novena to the Holy Spirit, but already we can be pleading for this gift for the Holy Spirit to come to us and enlighten us, to teach us the more that Jesus couldn't tell during his earthly ministry. We ask the Spirit to guide us into all truth.